also he's now in the coffee business.
He
sells cowboy coffee.
Yeah. That's a story. When we first talked to Clint, man, there's stuff you and I didn't even know that he shared with us.
No, I'm going to share it right now.
Wait for the interview.
No, but hold, folks, you got to listen to this. But do you know that he dropped out of high school?
We didn't. It's
one of the things that we learned during this interview that we found terribly fascinating in terms of how he overcame those challenges. Anyway, there's some other nuggets that will equally surprise you.
We're also talking with Steve Scalise, the majority leader in the House of Representatives. Steve, of course, he survived that political shooting several years ago in Washington, D.C.
Talk about, he is, in fact, living proof that how partisan, how divisive, how vitriolic our politics have become. I mean, he almost lost his life.
And yet he still has such a love for this country, even though it was one of his countrymen who almost killed him. That's going to be an interesting interview. We're talking with Larry Elder, who's running for president. He's running for the Republican nomination. Of course, Larry Elder ran for governor in California. He had his own radio talk show. Larry Elder has a great personal story as well. So we're going to be talking with him. And we're talking with actress Lee Allen Baker. She was on that show, Good Luck, Charlie. My kids love that show. The generation right behind us, they love this show. Great family show.
She had to move out of California. Yeah. She moved to Tennessee.
Yeah, during the lockdowns.
Just because
she wanted freedom. She wanted freedom, and that's why she moved. So we're going to be talking with all these people. This is a great lineup here for the next 3 hours. These personal stories of why people love America, what it is they think is about is great about this country. That's one of the things I love about doing the show every year.
And, I'm the first generation son of an Italian immigrant. So the American dream, I've had a front row seat to the American dream. But that American dream, like you said earlier, to say that today – it's almost like folks look at you like the American dream. Yeah, like that can be accomplished today.
That's only for the rich. That's only for the powerful.
But see, here's the
thing. It's not, though.
No, what we need to remind folks is, in much of the world, if your father is a bricklayer, you become a bricklayer.
True.
If your mother is a school teacher, you become a school teacher.
That's true.
And success stories of people in America who have risen up from literally nothing is really very common. Almost unremarkable in this country, but we don't tell their stories enough. They don't get mentioned enough. And so folks say, well, everything's stacked against me. The odds are stacked against me. The government doesn't want me to succeed.
Look at the list of the 10 richest people in the world, right? I believe 8 of them are Americans, although Elon Musk is African-American, right? Came from South Africa to the U.S.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Anyway, if you look at their histories, there's only one of the people that's in the top 10 richest people in the world who actually inherited a larger section of their fortune. Everyone else started off as poor or lower middle class and rose to those heights.
And see, that is exactly the point here. Because the American dream, this is what folks need to understand. The American dream is not as much about material and monetary wealth as it is the opportunity in which every person can attain their fullest potential, regardless of their circumstances of birth or position. We as Americans are not great because we were born in America.
Nope.
That's called geography.
Right.
The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness in ourselves.
See, that's the thing, is that America was the first country founded on an idea. And you can see that idea written down in the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that sentence goes on, and we can talk a little bit later on about how we really should run all of our political opinions through that sentence, because that sentence is the idea of America. But if you consider yourself a patriot, a patriot is someone who loves their country, right? That's the definition of a patriot. Well, America was the first country founded on an idea. So if you want to say you're a patriot, you want to say, I love my country, then you have to say, I love every word in the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence. But, I believe in that.
But it doesn't mean that you agree with everything that's going on in this country.
No.
Or that this country, our federal government, has done.
No, you don't have to agree with current events. But believe in the idea.
The principle.
Because the idea is what will set us free.
Absolutely.
Because the idea is based on truth.
So, folks, next 3 hours, you're going to hear a lot of this patriotism, the love of this country, because we believe that America is still that shining city on a hill.
We'll be right back with Mattress Mac. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis Sar Avalone.
You know, in Proverbs, it is written, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act.
Okay.
And I think that's why it is so incumbent upon all of us, especially to remember on the 4th of July, that we've got to pick up the baton, we've got to exercise whatever power, whatever influence we have within our means before an entire generation of Americans, including those in our own community, forget the principles upon which this nation was founded.
Right. And I think because we have a government system where it's based on the income tax and then the government doles out the money and gives it to other people, I think a lot of folks have forgotten the government cannot do charity for you. In order for you to do good for other people, you have to be the one to do it. Government can't do charity. The reason why government can't do charity is because every single dime the government gets, it takes from someone else through taxation. It takes it through force. So you can't do good by first taking from someone else. You have to make a choice with your own time, with your own property to do the charity that you want to do. So if you want to help other people, it's not enough just that you pay your taxes. You've actually got to go out and face the folks that you want to help face to face.
Right.
Right.
Because government cannot fix all things for us.
No.
Government cannot make us feel content. It cannot make us feel respected or accepted.
Right.
I mean, and I think the principle there is that America is more than just a place.
Mm-hmm.
It's an idea. It was founded on an idea that our rights come from God and not from government.
And sometimes God asks us to help our neighbors. And that's why I'm really excited about our first guest here on American Ground Radio. Jim McInvale, better known as Mattress Mac, he's down from the Houston area, but he's made nationwide news because
he's been very generous, but he's also been quite a successful sports gambler, so to speak.
Yeah, he's been tremendously successful.
But he's been very generous with what he's won.
He's opened up his stores to help his neighbors in times of tragedy. Not once, not twice, multiple times. And I think he's a great example of what America and Americans are all
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
So without any further ado, Mattress Mac. I say it's your birthday. America. And joining us now, another guest here on our 4th of July special, What Makes America Great, Jim McInvale, otherwise known as Mattress Mac. It's a great honor to be talking to you here on the 4th of July, sir.
Glad to be on the show.
Issued a severe thunderstorm warning for North Central Weld County in northeastern Colorado until 3 p.m. At 2:13 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, severe thunderstorms were located along a line extending from 11 miles west of Carpenter to 10 miles north of Purcell, or along a line extending from 15 miles southeast of Cheyenne to 27 miles northeast of Greeley, moving east at 30 miles an hour. Hazard: 70 miles an hour wind gusts. Source, radar indicated. Impact, expects considerable tree damage. Damage is likely to mobile homes, roofs, and outbuildings. Locations impacted include Hereford and Grover. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building.
Tables and, you know, these are my people. They're, I'm here to help.
And it's made you known across the country here. So here we are, 4th of July.
That wasn't the intent, certainly, but, you know, people know that I like to gamble, I like to practice free enterprise, and I like to help other people.
So here we are on the 4th of July, and one of the things we've been asking folks on the show is, what is it that you think makes America great?
The Judeo-Christian work ethic. Get up, go to work, and make something out of your life. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and go find the greatness that is within you, whether it's being a teacher at a child care center, as one of my children is, or whether it's being the chairman of Exxon. Get up, go to work, find your talent, make something out of your life, or whether it's being a construction worker. Work is life's greatest therapy. Find a job you love to do. You'll never have to work a day in your life, and you'll contribute to the well-being of this country. Be a taxpayer, not a tax taker.
Boy, I just love that. But, Mr. Mack, why do you think this sentiment is missing? It seems to be missing from our culture in America today.
I think we need to preach it louder and preach it from the pulpit. I think that the people not going to church is a major problem. They don't have any morals. And the word culture comes from the word cult, which is religion. So people need to go back to church. They need to get a high school or college education. They need to get a full-time job that they love. Then they need to get married. Then they need to have children in that order. Imagine that.
Yeah, right.
And you talk about providing, you know, people going to work and working hard. Through your work, through your business, you have provided a lot of people with an opportunity to work. Some people who were down on the luck, they didn't have much of anything else before they come to work for you. How many people have you seen whose lives have been changed through being able to work with the opportunities that Gallery Furniture has been able to provide?
You know, hundreds of them. I got a guy here that spent 6 years in Gola Penitentiary, one of the toughest penitentiaries in the country in Louisiana. But, you know, the good news was Angola taught him a work ethic. After Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, he came here, and he lived in our shelter here for a couple of days. We ended up hiring him. He had a big personality. Now he's one of our best employees in the whole company. So rags to riches 12, 15 years later, he's really made something out of himself. He loves where he works. He's a huge part of the family here. And, you know, human beings were made to live, work, play, and die in groups. Church gave us a sense of community. Society gave us a sense of community. Work brings a sense of community. People need to be part of a community. In 1900, the average size of a U.S. household was 10.5 people, 10.5. The average size of a U.S. household today is less than 2, and 1's the loneliest number. We need to get together in a communal sense again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talked about your dad and the lessons that your dad taught you growing up. When did you realize that there was something, obviously you love this country. Do you remember the very first time you realized this nation was something exceptional, something special?
Oh, geez, you know, from the day I was born, I was taught that, you know, I was taught that this is the greatest country in the world. And the Catholic school I went to had a lot of immigrants that came to this country to seek the opportunity the United States promises. And I think the United States still promises the most opportunity of any country in the world, and that's why all these immigrants are knocking down the door to get in here. So I think what really taught me that the country was resilient was when I was in the seventh grade in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd, 1963, and John Kennedy was killed in downtown Dallas, and my seventh and eighth grade football coach was an FBI agent assigned to watching Lee Harvey Oswald. So I was kind of an eyewitness to that bit of history. But as a nation, we sorrowed and we grieved, and then we moved forward. And I think that's what the country is doing now.
Mac McAdvale, Mattress Mac, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on American Ground Radio on our 4th of July special. And thank you so much for all the work you've done in changing people's lives for the better there in Houston.
Yeah, work is life's greatest therapy. My advice to people is get up, go to work, make something out of your life, find a job you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. This is the greatest country in the world. It was made great by work and by church.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Happy 4th of July.
Thanks, guys.
Well, we're just getting started here on our American Ground Radio 4th of July special, What Makes America Great? Coming up next, talking with political pundit Jeff Cruer about what he thinks makes this country so special. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio, where freedom grows, with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
To all the Tommy's Barbers and Blades customers out there, we appreciate you so much. We're doing a gift card giveaway the entire month of June. All you have to do is tell a friend to come in and see us or make an appointment and make sure they tell them your name and KHNC as the code, and both of you are in the drawing for $100 each of a gift card. Your friend gets entered once, you can get entered for as many times as you tell your friends. So make it happen, 720-745-0783.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone. This is our 4th of July special, What Makes America Great?
It's the 4th of July celebration. You know, if it was up to John Adams, it would have been called the July 2nd celebration.
Right. That was when the draft of the Declaration of Independence was completed. And he thought, yeah, that's the day that they should have fireworks on and should be celebrated in American history.
Exactly. But, you know, at the close of that, I love this story. Mm-hmm. You know, at the close of the Constitutional Convention, mm-hmm. you know, the oldest delegate, Benjamin Franklin, was asked to be the first to sign. And at the front of the chamber, there was a chair from which General Washington had presided. And the chair back had a design of a sun low on the horizon. And Franklin said, "There were days when I thought this picture of a sun low on the horizon was a setting sun, but I now know it is a rising sun. A new day for America, a new dawn for freedom."
Let's take a listen to Jeff Cruer.
America.
America. And joining us now, syndicated columnist, author, radio host, politics with a punch guru, Jeff Cruer. Thank you so much for joining us here on American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great?
I'm honored to be part of it, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
So you have been speaking out about politics for quite a long time. You're certainly versed in American history. You are versed in the founding ideals of this country. Through all of your work, all your research, everything that you've studied all the years, what is it you think makes America great?
Well, our history, our people, our founding documents. I mean, the fact that we have this wonderful Declaration of Independence, that we're getting ready to celebrate a big anniversary for 250 years coming up in 2026. The fact that we have a United States Constitution, the fact that we have a Bill of Rights, and we have freedom of speech and press and petition and assembly and religion. And we're magnets. We're a beacon. People from all over the world want to come here because of these freedoms, not because of our government, not because of politicians, but they want to come here to enjoy these freedoms that we have, that we take for granted, cornerstone of our republic. Yet, unfortunately, they're now being threatened. And we're now really causing harm to every American with the type of open border policy that we have.
Jeff, you talk about people wanting to come here not for our government, but for our freedoms. In some instance, when government gets too big, it does the exact opposite of why people come here. People come here for freedom. They come here actually, in some respects, because of our lack of government, right?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, we really started this great country as a way to give people their freedom. We wanted to have freedom from the tyranny in Europe, and people flooded here. And, you know, we had a vision of our founders that was so ingenious to have three branches of government, limited government, and power in the hands of, quote, we the people. So this is what for so many years worked in this country. And then gradually, gentlemen, over time, we have seen an expansion of government and an erosion of our rights. And we're now in a situation where we need to turn back this invasion of our rights, turn back this growth of government, and get back to more limited government, which was the vision of our founders. I think the founders had no idea that people would be going to Washington and not leaving, staying there for decade after decade after decade, accumulating power. And you've got this behemoth in Washington, D.C., with these bureaucracies and these departments and all of this power. I mean, that is not what attracted people to this country. That's not what made America great. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us to restore this greatness that I think we can do, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Now, Jeff, you love this country. You've been on the radio for a very long time. You've been writing for a very long time about this exceptional nation. What got you started, I mean, in terms of speaking out about just how great this country is?
Well, I was initially working as a fundraiser for nonprofit organizations. I did what's called development work. And then I got a real fire in the belly to run for office. And I decided to run for office in New Orleans because we had a lot of crime and I was a victim. So I decided to run against a guy named Mitch Landrieu, who had a machine. And of course, he won, but I did well enough to attract the attention of the Republican Party of Louisiana, and they were very impressed, and they brought me on board as their executive director. And in that position, I did a lot of media work, and I wound up getting an opportunity to start a radio show in 1999. And it has just been something that I found to be a real blessing because it gives me an opportunity to speak out about our city, our state, our nation. And we've got a city of New Orleans that is in crisis. We've got a state that's in crisis. And we've got a country that's in crisis.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, I mean, every program we have plenty to talk about because of all these issues and all these problems that are going on. There's never, gentlemen, a shortage of topics. And it's cathartic for me because I have an opportunity to express these ideas and talk about it on the air and engage guests and listeners. And I think we make a positive contribution. I think we're able to enlighten people, educate people about what is going on. And for me, that's satisfying. So that's what's kept me going, gentlemen, for now 24 years, coming up on my 25th anniversary next year.
So you talk about what's kept you going. Do you remember, can you think way, way back, when was the moment you realized there was something exceptional about this nation?
Well, I mean, I go back much further than when I started on the radio. I mean, I go back as a child and when I took civics class at De La Salle High School in New Orleans, and my teacher, Robert Greathouse, inspired me about this country, and we learned about civics, and we learned about history, and we learned about how this is such a unique, wonderful country. And I really became on fire for America, got involved in a political debate club, got involved in, you know, the College Republicans after that, then was president of the Greater New Orleans Republicans, and just saw the Republican Party as being a vehicle to try to change what was happening in New Orleans and Louisiana and around the country, which seemed to be an ever-increasing erosion of our rights, expansion of government. And we've had some successes, but I mean, we got our work cut out for us now more than ever. So it has been something that has kept me going for all this time because I do love the country. I've traveled some around the world. I don't think there's any place that compares to the United States of America, nowhere close. And that's why still, with all the problems we have, look at the number of people that want to come here.
Jeff Greer, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the 4th of July. Really appreciate your insights. Appreciate your friendship.
And happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Well, we've got a lot more coming up here on our 4th of July special, What Makes America Great. Coming up next, we're going to bring you one of the first interviews we ever did on the show with Tucker Carlson about what he thinks makes America great. When we come back.
You're standing on American ground with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
God bless America, land that I love.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone. By the way, this song's available.
I was going to say, that's from our CD.
That's from our CD. We have a CD that we made for kids with classical American songs, traditional American songs. It's called Freedom Sings. You can get it on Apple, iTunes, and other places. Go to our website, AmericanGroundRadio.com. We can send you a CD of it.
But it's not just the song.
No.
It's the backstory, and it's told by a grandfather-like cowboy.
Man, it's
so
just great. The history behind these songs, we have it. It's a great storytelling type of
just go to
thing.
iTunes.
Check it out.
Type in Freedom Sings. Mm-hmm. Take a listen. You can sample.
You can sample it right there.
You know exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
You know, free speech is the cornerstone of a democracy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the bedrock upon which our founding fathers built this nation.
Absolutely.
I mean, they understood that a free and open marketplace of ideas is essential for if you're going to call yourself a free society.
Mm-hmm. You have to have free speech. You have to have free speech because you have to have free thought. And if you're not allowed to say what it is you're thinking, you don't have free thought. And that's why it's so important.
This is one of the reasons that we started this show over 7 years ago.
We had written a book called Bright Spots, Big Country, and we were publishing it on July 4th.
Which, by the way, is available on Amazon.
That's right. And we sent out, we started to do a radio special, just like this one. This was the first one we did of these. And we sent out emails to people all over the country saying, hey, would you like to be on our 4th of July show? Tell people what it is you think makes America great. We sent out hundreds of emails.
You know who the first person was that responded?
Tucker Carlson. The very first person to respond to all of our emails sent out all over the country was Tucker Carlson. He said, I'm in. I love the idea. I'm in. And at the time, you know, we didn't even have a radio show then. This was the first radio program we did, and our first guest was Tucker. And we were like, this isn't about us. This is about how Tucker views the world, how Tucker views the country. And that's why we love this interview with Tucker Carlson so much. Tucker Carlson, thank you so much for being on our show. Am I on track here? Does this say something about how you feel about America?
Well, I loved your email. I thought it was such a cool idea. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I mean, I responded immediately because I thought it was a great idea.
So let me just get to the first question here. What do you think makes America great?
Well, there are a bunch of things, but my favorite thing by far, and there's self-interest in this, but I love the fact and treasure and I'm grateful for the fact that you can say what you think is true in America, period. It's an absolute right. It's the only country in which that is true. There are lots of countries with, you know, market economies and democratic systems of government and, you know, not very much litter. I mean, there are a lot of first world countries you could live in, but none of them have a First Amendment. And none of them preserve in the way we do the right of free expression. And that's, you know, maybe that's not important to you, but it's really important to me, obviously because of my job, but also because I just love it. I love the fact that no one can punish you for saying what you think is true. So that's the first and most important thing about America as far as I'm concerned, and I think that all other freedoms hang on that. Like, everything depends on that.
It's a very good point. And of course, you've been around the world as a reporter. Have you been in other places in the world where you kind of felt, boy, this is something that needs to be said, this is something that is true, but I may not be standing on the soil where I can necessarily say that?
Well, I think it's true in every other country. I mean, even in countries I like to visit and countries whose people I like and, you know, that I would live, Canada, I like Canada. You know, it's a nice country. People are in jail in Canada for saying what they think. You know, unpopular things, but that's always the measure. You know, can you say something unpopular? There's no, you know, you don't need a First Amendment to protect your right to agree with everyone else. That's implied. But Canada, Western Europe, I mean, all of the countries in Western Europe have limits on speech. You know, I think we're unique in the world in that. So, I mean, I've always been grateful for that. And without that freedom, I mean, of course, I couldn't have my job.
Do you feel like that freedom is under threat now in a way that maybe it hasn't been before?
Well, not only is it under threat, it's being eroded. And for the simple reason that in order to pass on freedoms, you have to tell the next generation that they exist, and you have to explain them. I mean, that's how we pass on our values, is through what used to be called the oral tradition. You know, we all get around the campfire and tell the stories of our ancestors. And the basic story of America is the story of people who had strong views, but they were out of step with their neighbors. And so they had to leave, and they had to go somewhere else where they could worship the God they wanted and say what they thought was true. And they went to a whole new continent in order to do that. And the first thing they did when they got self-government was to enshrine the right that they enjoyed in the Bill of Rights, in the very first one, the very First Amendment. So you got to tell the next generation that. And when you stop doing it, they stop knowing. And, kids now believe there's something called hate speech, which is a fictional category. It doesn't actually exist. The Supreme Court has ruled on this a bunch. There's no such thing as hate speech. I mean, there's ugly speech, and there's impolite speech, and there's speech that I would never utter and that I would get mad at my children for using. I mean, of course, a lot of things that you shouldn't say, but there's nothing you're not allowed to say. And that's a key distinction, and that distinction's being lost.
Yeah, I think Ronald Reagan said all great change begins at the dinner table. You know, I guess I'm interested to know, where do you think that disconnect is with respect to, you know, like you said, you know, we all used to sit around the campfire and you tell the stories of previous generations and how things were done and what made America great. And where do you think that disconnect is? And more importantly, how do we reconnect it?
By exercising it. I mean, really, the way to change things is to convince people. I mean, we have a whole, you know, electoral and legislative system for changing things, for codifying them, for making new laws. But real change begins when people change their minds. And they change their minds when they're convinced by someone making an argument, a rational appeal to them, and saying, you know, here's what the facts are, and here's why I've reached the conclusion I have. And if you do that enough, calmly and in a welcoming, open-minded way, I mean, you will convert people. You know, if your argument is solid, and so that's what we need to do. And why haven't people been doing that? I mean, because they took it for granted. You know, they got complacent. They decided, you know, things were always this way, so they would always remain this way. That's not true. But they convinced themselves of that. And I think in a lot of ways, if I can just point a finger at my fellow conservatives, I mean, I think they got pretty caught up in issues that are not as important, like marginal tax rate. I'm for lower taxes, obviously. Most people are. But you can change taxes with a single vote. You can't change attitudes with a single vote. You know, you can't change people's understandings of their country and of the things that really matter, like families, with a single vote. You have to inculcate those values by telling your kids about them, and I think we stopped doing that.
I love what you said there, that you have to change people's minds. You have to win the argument in a way that's respectful, but you do that through speech. And obviously, I get the feeling that has been a driving principle for you in your entire career with when you were in CNN, with the Daily Caller, now, of course, what you're doing on Fox News, that you're trying to convince people politely with your argument.
And I'm open to being convinced myself. I mean, part of the joy of the job is getting to hear other points of view. And, you know, the majority of the time, I dismiss them. I've heard those arguments before. I don't think they add up. In some cases, I don't think they make any sense at all. But occasionally, you know, you hear something that stops you. And if you're awake, and I really try to be, you think, well, wait, that's not exactly crazy, is it? And then you sort of think about it for a while. And occasionally, your mind has changed. It certainly happened to me. And I am grateful for those experiences. Because, by the way, if you don't change your mind every once in a while, when you're living in a country changing as fast as ours, you're probably not paying attention. You ought to let reality dictate your beliefs, rather than the other way around. So I love it. I love the exchange of ideas. And I love talking to people and debating with people who are sincere, who really believe what they're saying. And it's Washington, so most of the time we get hacks and people reading talking points, but occasionally get someone who really means it. And I think that person's wrong, but like I love talking to people like that.
I think one of the beauty, or one of the greatest attributes of your show, is that you actually allow the guests to get their point of view out that is longer than a 30-second soundbite. And so, you know, you talk about changing minds. A lot of what we need to change in this country can't be done in 30-second increments. And I think that's one of the neat things about your show, and I think why it's so popular, aside from the fact that you're just a fantastic debater, is that you do allow those ideas to get out and to really be able to pull them apart for folks to see how they all fit together or don't.
Well, exactly, because I don't want to win on debate points. I mean, sometimes we get people who are worried about coming on the show, and one of the producers will call me and say, will you call the person and talk to them about it? And I always tell the guest what I'm going to ask. Always. I never have any trick questions. I'll tell anybody at any time what I'm going to ask or what I think I'm going to ask. Because why wouldn't I? You know, I want to hear their actual answer. I'm not trying to trip them up with a trick question or sophism or, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Whip out their tax returns and ask them to account for some number they haven't seen before. Like, why would it? You know, that's a magic trick. And I'm not interested in that. I want to hear what they have to say. I'm not afraid to let them say it because I think the audience can make up its mind about whether their point is better than mine. I mean, I really believe in that. Like, let's get it all out there and see what you really think. Like, what are you saying? What is the point of this? Like, strip away all the dumb cliches and talking points and tell me what point are you making? And if it's a good one, great, you win.
You're trying to let them have their freedom of speech. I love that. You're living out your conviction. Thank you so much for joining us on our What Makes America Great 4th of July special. Tucker Carlson, you can see him on Fox News. And again, thank you so much for being here, Tucker.
Oh, man, it was an honor. Thank you.
Happy 4th of July.
Thanks, and to you.
Well, that's the end of our first hour of American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great. But we still have another 2 hours to come. Full of great interviews from American patriots, Victor Davis Hanson, Willie Robertson, Clint Black, and our American mama, Terry Netterville. It's all coming up in the next hour of American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great? Stick around.
The Rev here. Life can deal some crushing blows. Renew, refresh, and restore your spirit. Join us every Sunday as Pastor Keith reveals the joy of knowing God through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We gather at the Old Severance Town Hall at 10 o'clock, located at 4th Avenue and 1st Street in Severance, to hear God's inspiration. Come and be part of our family. We look forward to meeting you.
Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams.
I have a dream that one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
American Ground Radio with Louis R. Abalone and Stephen Puff. 3, 2.
The National Weather Service in Denver, Colorado has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Weld County in northeastern Colorado until 3:15 p.m. At 2:42 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, severe thunderstorms were located along a line extending from 3 miles west of Panorama Point to 4 miles north of Kyoto, or along a line extending from 27 miles southwest of Kimball to 38 miles northwest of Fort Morgan, moving east at 35 miles an hour. Hazard, 60 miles an hour wind gusts. Source, radar indicated. Impact, expect damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Severe thunderstorms will be near Pawnee Buttes around 2:50 p.m. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building.
Victor Hanson was killed in Okinawa, and I I heard a lot about World War II and why people from a little farm community would volunteer to go halfway around the world and in one case die. Then I had another Swedish grandfather who was gassed at the Meuse-Argonne, was disabled the rest of his life. And so he, all of this sort of resonated what it was. There was never any bitterness. Oh, I can't breathe, or I've had some traumatic stress from the B-29 missions on March 9th and the fire raids, or why did Victor have to die in Oklahoma? None of that. It was all, I wish we could have done more. So that really impressed me and I think shaped the way I looked at the United States.
If there's one thing that you have learned about this country, about the way our system is, that you wished more Americans knew, what would that be?
I think we're resilient, and I get very frustrated when I see abuses of the bureaucratic state, as everybody does, and I see an asymmetry of the application of law sometimes. We've had dark moments in our history, but we always seem to overcome that. And when we had the Great Depression, or we had the 60s Cultural Revolution, or the upheaval of the Woke Revolution, it seems that Americans have an innate practicality where they pick and choose things that they find useful and maybe needed for reform and change and advancement, and then they reject all of the things that are nihilistic and anarchist and are agents of anarchy. So it's a very resilient system, and I think people expect that no matter what their political differences, they have an innate confidence, even in the turmoil of the times, economic, political, social, cultural, that the way, the American way perseveres, and they're able to accept that and expect that. And that's why I think for 234 years, when people had so often written our epitaph, we rebounded, whether it was in the Civil War where we lost 700,000 people, or the Great Depression where we had 25% unemployed, or World War II where, you know, by 1941, all of Europe was under Nazi control and most of Asia, and yet in 4 years, we defeated both.
Victor Davis Hanson, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on American Ground Radio, and happy 4th of July to you.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
Well, coming up next here on American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, we're talking with our American mama, Terry Netterville. You hear her every night on our show. You can hear her next on What Makes America Great. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio, where freedom grows, with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone.
You know, and what was interesting in listening, if you were listening to Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, our last guest.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's a very studied individual,
sure.
Obviously, a doctor.
It's his job.
But at the same time, I think it's important to realize you don't need all those degrees on the wall to appreciate what America is and what she means to the history of the world. Like,
sure.
For example, my father immigrated to this country in 1964.
From Italy.
From Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had not studied Benjamin Franklin's writings. He did not know of the Gettysburg Address. He had never read the Declaration of Independence. But as an immigrant to this country, it's almost as if he knew those principles that served as the foundation for those writings. It's like he understood them like the back of his hand.
Well, of course he did.
Because they're self-evident truths.
They're natural law. This is what was handed down to us by the Creator. The ideas this country was based on, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those are things that were given to us by the Creator. So you don't necessarily have to have read Thomas Jefferson or Thomas Locke. You don't have to have necessarily read Paine.
Or as Alexis de Tocqueville.
But you can know that the Creator gave you rights from the moment of your creation.
And, absolutely.
And I think that's great. And that's one of the things that we love having Terry Netterville on our show,
our American,
every day.
Our American mom, I was going to say.
Because she understands those principles.
I say it's your birthday.
America.
Happy birthday to you.
America.
And And joining us now, our American mama, Terry Netterville. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
She is so dressed patriotically.
All the time.
Oh, all the time. In studio
well,
today.
Sure. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, red, I love my country.
So, Terry, for folks that don't know, you know, you have, I think, the world's biggest 4th of July party at
it's
your
so
house
fun. Yes.
Every single year. And your whole family comes in from other states.
Yes.
Right? Real quick, what is the furthest anyone has traveled just to be at your 4th of July party?
Arizona
to Louisiana.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's a pretty long trek.
That's a long trek.
Right? You had to go through
but
three
big states.
But
it's worth it. It's like the one time, and I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of people choose to have their big Christmas or their big Thanksgiving. So my sisters and I said, you know what? Since we don't have to worry about having to share this holiday with anybody, and we are patriots. We are all about America. Let's do the 4th. And that's how it started. We're going, this is our 21st year
of doing big 4th.
Yeah.
And it's not just family. You have friends that
friends
come,
will
in,
come in,
and, you know, strangers wandering
off
the streets.
Everybody brings their own, like, we have food, but everyone brings their side dish or dessert. And it's,
so it's a nice potluck. And you guys have games. You have planned out events. You got trophies for things.
Yeah. They have parking attendants out front directing traffic.
That's not true.
Parking lot E.
We probably should.
You're in the West parking lot, by the way, sir.
So, obviously, I mean, you're a big patriot. We call you our American mama. You're on American Ground Radio every single night.
High
talking,
compliment, yes.
Talking about all these different, you know, things about America.
Right.
What is it you think makes America great?
Oh, my God. I think, you know, it's so interesting because it's been an interesting couple of years, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this every year. I start thinking about the segment. I have to go back to my childhood. I have to go back to the stories that we heard about the guys who stormed Normandy, the beaches of Normandy.
Right.
I think about those soldiers who understood and recognized that some things are worth dying for: our country, democracy, those types of things. And I feel like I would give anything in this world, guys, if we could get back to that kind of patriotism.
Mm.
I think as y'all know, my boys played baseball in college. And every single time the Star Spangled Banner played, I had this stirring feeling in my heart. And it used to be, I'm just so overwhelmed. I love my country so much. Now there's a little bit of a sadness because I miss the unity. I miss the days when I didn't know what political affiliation anybody was. We were all unified. We were all in solidarity for our country, for the men and women who fight for our country. We were all in it together because we love our country. Like back in almost 80 years ago, you know, when D-Day, when those boys were fighting, there were people back home. There were people in Kansas. They would come out and they would kneel on their front porch. You had people in Georgia who would fill up the churches at 4 a.m. and pray. You had Philadelphia. They were ringing the Liberty Bell because why? They were all Americans who loved our country and knew what these men and women were doing on behalf of them.
I love that.
Yeah, no, you talk about the emotion that wells up inside of you when you hear the national anthem. You know, and obviously you love this country. You talk about going back to your childhood. Do you remember that moment when you realized that there was something special about America? When was that for you?
You know what? It was elementary school because back then we stood and did the Pledge of Allegiance. We learned stories from our teachers about how great our country was. Everybody was kind of on the same page. So we grew up singing, you know, the grand old flag. We did, you know, I had parents who instilled in us the beauty of being born into this country. And we recognized it at an early age. But that was so much a part of my childhood in school that I'm very sad for the students of today that don't get to have that. You know, our kids grew up at Southfield where they did that too. They stood up, they said the Pledge of Allegiance, and they sang Grand Old Flag, and that's one of their most precious and vivid memories.
But that doesn't happen in a lot of schools.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there will come a time that we will get back to that. I don't know why I feel like that, but I do feel like that we will, because there's no other way to be. There's no other way to build upon anything unless you're in it together. Even if we think differently, to have that patriotism in your heart. I don't think any other countries are teaching their children negative aspects of their country. I think they're building their kids into these, you know, their own nationalists. You know, they love their own country. I wish that we would do the same.
But did you teach your children about it? Did your mother, did your father teach you about it? Because, you know, we asked that question, when did you realize that this nation was something exceptional? And I almost wonder if it is, we take for granted so many blessings that one day you realize, you know what? Not everybody lives like this.
Yeah. You know what? We did talk about it. And here's how my dad would kind of insert these things. During the Olympics, they would tell the stories. They had the music. And my dad would, I mean, his eyes would well up with tears. And he would say to us, this is what it means to be an American. They would tell the stories where they went drove 5 hours to take their kid to practice and all, you know, those stories. Just remember them so vividly. And so anytime anything like that came on, especially during the Olympics, I just remember Dad getting emotional and them talking about it and me feeling inside how grateful. And I would just, we would root for them in our living rooms as if they were family, you know, because they were one of us and they were representing our country. So yes, I did. And I did instill that. My children are very much patriotic. They love this country. They see what's going on and they're at the age now, you know, 24, 22, 20, you know, wait, what is it? 22, 24. And they are, they're willing now to stand up and use their voice for their country because they see a little bit of this divide and they don't like it. They don't want that to be the part of their legacy.
I love that. Terry Netterville, our American mama. By the way, we do a segment every day on our show, Ask the Mama. So if you'd like to ask our American mama a question, go to our website, americangroundradio.com/mama, and click on the Ask the Mama button. Terry Netterville, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, guys.
Happy 4th.
Thank you.
Well, our show is about halfway over right now. Still have another half of this hour and the hour after that. And coming up next on American Ground Radio's 4th of July special, What Makes America Great? We're talking with Willie Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame. Oh, you're going to love this. Stick around.
Keep your ear to the ground. American Ground Radio with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection. It's the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. It's critical that we keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear,
dog. Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com.
That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code
KHNC
to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone. Use your promo code
KHNC.
Hey, 1360 fans, Tika here with Serenity Painting. Did you know that we also offer concrete, framing, drywall, and much more? For a free estimate, call us at 970-978-9565. Mention 1360 and receive 15% off any construction service and or free upgrade to lifetime warranty paint with a 7-year labor warranty included. Call us today at 970-978-9565.
You're listening to the Roar of the Rockies, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins.